Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome back to another episode of the Next Level Christianity. I'm your host, John Alkire, and across from me is this beautiful wife of mine, best friend, Carrie Ann.
My goodness. Hey, you guys. Thank you. That's very nice of you. Hope you're doing good. Glad to have you here.
Boy, it's fun to do this with you, Carrie, and we're just excited to be back on. It's been a while. This is episode 20.
Hey.
Super excited that we've gotten to 20. And we've already got two others besides this episode geared up for the next week. So three coming at you here, new ones. So we're excited.
Super excited.
But with everything going on right now, we felt like this episode 20 needed to be devoted towards what this country is dealing with, which is this coronavirus that has literally shut down America, the world, as we know it. And it has caused, no doubt, anxiety, fears, unknowns. We've never been in a, at least that I'm hearing, I mean, in my 45 years and your 44 years.
43.
I'm not 44 yet. That's right. I got away. I thought you were closer than that.
No. I know.
So there you go. All right. So, but we've never seen anything like it. We've seen a lot of things happen in our world, but not like this. And not the impact it has on families. Can't imagine financially. Hours being cut. Possible layoffs. So we know that we're seeing some tough times amongst the people. But yes. I think what our hope tonight was is to come together again using scripture. Clearly we have scripture that God has promises to his people, Christians, believers, who rest in God. And we have scriptures of hope and that will give peace that we want to go through tonight. We want to talk through. And that if you're one of those Christians out there and you're feeling anxiety, you're feeling fear, anger, probably this unknown of your job security or situation, because you don't know how long this is going to last. We hope tonight, even if you have a family member who has the coronavirus or who is going through the virus now, whatever the circumstance, you're out of supplies. Mm-hmm. We know how that's riddled the stores with everybody hoarding TP and paper towels and potatoes and all these necessities because they think they're going to shut down grocery stores, you know, which we're close. We're on a shutdown in California where we are. New York, I think it is, but others might follow. So we don't know. Illinois. So with that being said, there's just an uncertainty, I guess, is the best word. And so where do we get our hope?
Yeah.
We get our hope from God.
Yes.
Through Christ.
Yes.
And we just wanted to kind of just spend this episode on that. And we know there's tons of things floating out there. And I just want to say, I posted this on my Facebook page today. I will say that the pastors and the churches who have come out, many of them live. I mean, obviously they're doing their services live, but then they're even going beyond and they're doing daily prayer time where you can kind of jump on and just be a part of these pastors praying for our communities, praying for our world, praying over the virus, just asking God to do his will and seeking him. And it's just neat just seeing the social media platform just being flooded by church pastors and leaders just bringing the gospel.
Yes.
And talking about God in this. And we believe there's going to be a lot of people who will come to know Jesus for the very first time as a result of this whole thing. Many, I think there'll be many.
Yes.
And as a result, I just want to share this is because of you pastors who have come out outside of your walls and have come out live and have shared your message, your knowledge, your pastoral leadership coming out into the community, and we just don't see that a lot on social.
No.
Not by a lot.
No.
There are some, but not a lot. So kudos. I think it's awesome. I think it's neat. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that going on. But tonight, I think Carrie and I just want to come back and just share more on the focus of when we hit fear, when we hit anxiety, when we're hitting suffering, struggles. What does the scripture say? If you haven't read your Bible a lot, maybe you just haven't had time. Some of these verses you'll know, some of them you'll hear probably for the first time. And then we're going to talk about some of these verses and kind of what they mean. So what we want tonight is just to give you hope and peace and just follow along with us tonight. And, you know, if you're walking, which, you know, is a great time, what we've learned about coronavirus. I mean, seriously, I'm going to give you three. This is just coming to me right now. Family time.
For sure.
Embrace it.
Yes.
I know there's probably a lot of fighting between the kids and stuff. I get it. But you're together a lot, which is rare, especially in the spring with school and sports and business and work and all that. And you got your family. You've got exercise.
Yes.
We can go out and walk and run. We can do that. So do you got the time now? Mm-hmm. If you want to lose those 5 pounds, go do it. That's get right. out and walk more than you've ever had. Just take advantage of that. And the weather seems to be cooperating in most cases. And then the Bible.
Yes.
You know, get in the Bible. Get into these scriptures. Get into it. Dads, be the spiritual leaders you're called to be. And now is the time. You're home. You're not running ragged when you're in your work and coaching sports. You're here. Get them in the Bible. Bring your kids in the Bible. Lead. There's great things that can come out of this coronavirus if we look at it that way. But again, tonight we want to give you some scriptures. We're going to start in the Old Testament. And we're going to work our way to the new. And we're just going to give these different Bible verses that we can pull from that give us that confidence that no matter what we're up against, God's with us. And I just wanted to share that we don't rejoice when we're dealing with pain. Right now, there's this uncertainty, and it's hard to be excited about it, right? And when we read scripture, we hear Apostle Paul and Peter and them say, and James say, rejoice in this suffering, right? And you're like, what? How am I supposed to rejoice? It's hard. You know, when you're battling cancer, how do I rejoice in that? I lose a loved one. How is that a rejoice, right? And whatever we've been going through, my hours are going to get cut short at work, as we talked about. I may lose my job. We are to rejoice in the fact that we have a God present with us in the midst of our pain. And that's what we're rejoicing in. And when we hear and see in scripture these amazing forefathers rejoicing as they suffer persecution, as they suffer shackles, as they suffer whippings, as Paul says to, I can't even count how many times I've been beaten. He's all doing that for Christ. And you see this rejoice and this happiness because he has Christ in our life. Don't forget that no matter what we're going through, we have God in the midst of our pain with us. We are not alone. And we're to expect problems. We're expect trouble. In this world, it's our calling as Christians. It's our calling. I know that doesn't sound, you go, wait a minute, it's not supposed to be that way. It is. God called you into the world. And as a result of us being in the world,
broken.
It's broken. Mm-hmm. And it brings pain. And here's the reality. We can't escape it. We will never escape it until the very end when we're called away into God's kingdom. And as Paul says, and we'll hear this in one of the verses, he uses this stuff to build perseverance, character, and hope. And maybe, just maybe, he may be causing some discipline in our lives. The way we've been living hasn't been the way he wants us to live it. Maybe not as holy as he wants us to be. So there might be some things going on in your life when we deal with suffering and this that has a result of a discipline, a correction, God's wrath. We don't like to talk about fear the Lord, but we are to fear the Lord because he does bring wrath and judgment to those who don't know him, but even those who do know him. It's gentler. It's a discipline, but it is to make us better, to make us more holy, to bring us to sanctification. So we don't always know the why in this, but we do know that God never said we wouldn't walk through the valley. But we do know that God promises that he will walk with us.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's the message we're bringing tonight.
Yeah.
in these verses. And with this coronavirus, this is a national impact, right? Not just an individual suffering, hey, I'm battling with an illness, or I just lost my job here and no one else is affected. This is affecting everybody.
Yeah.
And we don't know the why. This could be his wrath. This could be his judgment on something, on our sins. We don't know. But as I said earlier, right, Kara, it's just, what can we do in the midst of it? Knowing God's with us, the believers, that's who we're speaking to. I've got my family. I've got my home, hopefully. I've got some supplies. I got a little exercise I can do. And I've got my Bible. I got my scripture. I got the God-breathed scripture I can be into. And so that's just something that we can just take of the unknown and let God guide us through this national deal and trust his sovereignty, that he knows exactly what's going on with the virus. He has his purposes. We may not know or ever know at this point, but we got to let him do what he needs to do with that. And we need to trust the outcome.
Absolutely.
And that's just what we have to do.
We have to.
Right?
We have to.
And so.
Because the other side of that is fear.
That's where we go, right?
That's the other
There's
side.
There's no other.
So we only have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
So we're here to bring the scripture choice, which is going to give you the peace that passes all understanding.
Yeah.
And so that's the two choices we have as we walk through these complete unknowns. We have no timelines. We don't know when children will go back to school. We don't know when jobs will resume. We have no idea. We don't know how quickly, how slow will the virus be contained. We have no idea. So that's our options are to choose fear,
mm-hmm,
or to choose peace.
Yep.
And here, this is the option of peace.
And it's right on. It's really two choices. And if you're a believer and you're a child of God, you know what I mean by this? When I say that, and you are just right now paralyzed with fear, you need to get in your word, and this will hopefully help you, but you shouldn't be that way. And God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be confident in him. And you're going to see a lot of this, and we're going to bring a lot of scriptures. I think it's like 18 or 20 scriptures. So bear with us. So, hey, jump in. If you're walking, cool. Come back in. I wanted to just put this out. This will be on Facebook, our Facebook page, and our Instagram. So we always put our verses there. So don't think that you're walking and you're like, holy, he's going through this super fast. How am I going to write all this down? Don't worry about it. It's going to be up. We're going to have them all in order. We're going to do this easy. Old Testament, New Testament. It'll all be there that you can reference those scripture verses with your family, with yourself. They give yourself
perfect
deeper into those. So we're going to tackle each one for you as we move on. And hopefully this edifies you and brings you to a peaceful place like it has for us. Because we studied these and we've walked through all these and we researched and all that. So here we go.
Yeah. So it's going to sound something like this. I'm going to give you the address of the scripture. I'm going to read the verse to you. And then John's going to break it down for us what's inside that verse.
So, well, we both will. But yeah, I got some things to say. And so Carrie and I'll just add some color to them. And we'll go to each one. So hang with us. Again, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Deuteronomy. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 31:6.
Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. The Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you.
So I love this. We did a podcast, I believe it was number 2, on prosperity. Episode 2, we actually talk about this, and this was something God spoke often to the Israelites and his chosen leaders. This is Moses speaking over Joshua. These were spoken in multiple books in the Old Testament. And if you listen to episode 2, you'll hear a lot of that. That's where we got it from. But it was from the Old Testament, like 4 different books, 4 different forefathers that had said the same things. It's really, really powerful. And we can all rest in this as people. Be strong and courageous. And you're going to see, we're going to go to Joshua 1:9. It's the same theme. So Carrie, go into Joshua 1:9, you're going to see the same thing communicated. This is going to be from God himself to Joshua.
Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Yeah. Again, this is really what God looks at, as we talk about again in episode 2, but this is where God is looking at. This is through his eyes, not the world's eyes. And this passage, God tells Joshua 3 times. So read 1:9 and kind of go on and read that section of verses. You're going to see that God specifically tells Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous. And it was said, and we said this in another episode, that do not be afraid was listed 365 times in the Bible. Hmm. Let's say it wasn't 365, maybe it was 300, but still, it's a lot. And we know that as if you read it. As his chosen people, we're commanded to be strong, period, end of story. And this is clearly laid out in the books. Mm-hmm. But we are not to be afraid. We're to be strong and courageous.
Love that one. Love that. All right. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
Kind of simple. There's more into that psalm, right? It's just we kind of lifted that verse. But I will say that that's David speaking of God being our provider. In that psalm, he's talking about God being our ultimate provider and our deliverer.
So good.
And this verse brings peace and comfort to me. I hope it does to you guys. We need to pray, close the door, and seek God with our troubles, worries, and petitions. He will answer us. He says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. He would do it for you if he did it for David, right? Be strong and courageous. God told Joshua, right? Mm-hmm. He's there with us, as I said, in the midst of our issue, suffering, trouble.
Right now
with coronavirus.
Mm-hmm. Psalms 56:3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you.
Another lifted verse, but so simple and so true of what the Bible teaches about our God. Amen on this. I mean, how many of us try to solve, right?
My hand in there.
Yeah, we try to solve the trouble or become paralyzed in fear or worry. Carrie said it best. You have two choices. Put your trust in God. Fully seek him. You got this. Mm-hmm. You got a little worry, anxiety. You pray. You give it to him.
Yes.
Or you try to just worry all day long.
Yes.
I'm taking the first one.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Yes. We need to have confidence in the Lord. His will and choice for us, replacing our emotions to our circumstances. We are an emotional human being who puts the emotions into our circumstances and makes it worse. We need to replace that for God. How do we do it?
It's good.
We got to pray.
Yes.
We got to come before him humbly and trust in his sovereignty.
Amen. That's awesome. All right, this is a little bit longer. Psalms 91, 1 through 6. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide on the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence.
Yep. Which it's is plague or virus,
right? Plague or virus.
Which we're dealing with a virus.
Correct. Oh, so good. He will cover you with his
pinions.
Wings.
Which are wings. Like, it's a reference of wings.
And under his wings, you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon.
Pretty powerful. It's a little longer one. Now it goes on to verse 16. It describes God's ongoing sovereign protection of his people from present dangers and terrors which surround us in this world. So read the Psalms. We're lifting, but read it. You get more content. But we can be comforted that as children of God, nothing can harm us unless the Lord permits it.
Yes.
And again, we talked about it, for it is God's will if we're harmed or affected by anything in which he was bring, which is to bring him glory.
Yes.
And as I said earlier with Paul, what he said was, and we talked about this earlier, discipline, correction. It could be those things, perseverance, building that character, building hope in us. That could be why he's permitting things to happen. It is his will in the moment of what is going to permit us to be a part of or not. That's our belief. We believe God's sovereign. We believe he's in control of all things.
He is sovereign.
And we have proof to that. And we will talk more to that in another episode. But this is very powerful psalm. So please dig into the rest of that if you have time.
Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad.
Are you worn down? Are you worn down from anxiety? If you're out there, you worn down? I love this. A good word of encouragement makes the heart glad. During these times, we need to be the good word of encouragement and of Jesus to those who are facing anxiety. And we can do that via text to people we know who are struggling. As I said to these pastors and other non-pastors that are believers that are sharing scriptures all over. I mean, the social media increase of the gospel and God's scriptures has heightened. If anyone hasn't seen that, you're crazy, which is awesome. And that is a way that we can bring good word and help an anxiety weighing down the people in our community, in our cities, and in the world.
So good. All right, Isaiah 45:5-7. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no other God. I will gird, prepare for a run, fight, or labor. You through. You have.
That was just the definition of gird. Like we're just, okay. Just when you hit gird, yes, in your Bibles, I'll save you from going to your Googles. Just, it means prepare for a run, a fight, or prepare for labor, meaning physical labor. So he's getting you ready. God's getting you ready. And listen to what he says. I'm getting you ready, though you have not.
Though you have not known me.
Haven't known me, but I'm getting you ready.
That men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming the light and creating the darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these.
Okay, so sovereignty, yeah, is the word that comes to me here, yes, from Isaiah.
Yes.
We've said that a few times. We believe that. And you see this. And how many times is he clearly defining himself, right? He's defining, I am God. I am the Lord. There is no other. I am the one forming the light. I am the one creating the darkness, causing well-being, and listen to this, and creating calamity.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord who does all these things. So when you think worrying about something that God clearly has control over, we don't.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in here. We're going to give you a quick little personal story. So Matt, our third, he has had lobar emphysema, which means he had a middle lobe taken out of his right lung. So he was small. He was
2 weeks old.
Yes. Yeah. Very little guy, open body surgery, blood transfusion, intubation. So when I started to hear bilateral pneumonia, fear, yeah, totally entered my mind, because I'm like, I have to protect this child. He's 9 years old. He's great. His oxygen levels are at 100.
Yep.
He's healthy, happy boy. But in my mind, I'm like, whoa, I have to protect the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And John, being a leader of our household, he had to pull me aside and say, hey, God is sovereign. If this young guy is to get sick, this is God's will. Not that that's what we want. Now, we're going to do everything to help protect him, obviously, keep him in a safe situation. But this was the verse that brought me so much peace this week. That, Lord, I'm going to do what I can do, but you're in charge of both situations. Any outcome that happens, he's totally in control. And so I just, as you mamas are thinking about your kiddos and thinking about your husbands, or if you've got people on the front line in the medical field, you know, you're thinking in this same manner. And this verse was just so powerful to me. Just talk about the peace. Is God's totally in control.
Totally.
Totally. No matter how many times we wash our hands or stay home or any of that.
Yeah, I mean, clearly those are things that are going to help. We know that there's obviously a reality to this very, very infectious thing. But you're right. I mean, he creates the calamity. Yeah. He causes well-being.
Yeah.
So we're just to pray.
Yeah.
Lord, your will be done. We're going to do the right things.
Oh, yes.
God, you're in control. And we trust whatever you're up to. And that's what we have to do. And it's our calling to do that as believers. And so it is a great verse. I think I posted on Facebook this last week.
You did.
Just because really I felt like people needed to see it. It's just my way of sharing our faith out there. But yeah, good stuff. Here's a little longer one. You guys probably know this one. It is Carrie and I's personal favorite. We've walk through the valley ourselves a few times where this whole story of Jesus when he's talking on the Sermon on the Mount, Do Not Worry, which we're going to read it just for your purposes so you can hear it if you're on a walk or you're on a drive or you're just in your house cleaning.
All right, here we go. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. Is not, I know this verse really well, so I'm going to have a hard time reading it, so I'm going to make sure I get the content correct for you. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Yeah, long. Yay. It's awesome.
It's so good.
One of the favorite verses, like I said, Sermon on the Mount, if you want to know where it was said by Jesus himself. Again, we worry about tomorrow, right? We always worry, what's tomorrow? We worry about our finances. Mm. Things we mostly worry about are things we cannot control. I find that often for even myself. It's the stuff that we have no control of that we start to worry and consumes us, and especially in times like these. Jesus promises people, do not worry.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in here, but let's just take a second. He has our needs taken care of. The ones he loves, right? The ones who believe in him. He's promising he has your needs taken care of. It may not be the abundant life. It may not be what the prosperity preachers are telling their flocks. But it will be the necessities. He will take care of our needs always. And I love how he says, I feed the birds. And aren't you more valuable at the end of the day? Like, are you kidding me? You look around and Carrie and I have just noticed the crows have been our go-to symbol that God is present, constantly reminding us. And we've been through a lot over the last 3 years. And we're not going to get into that tonight. But God has been so good at showing us the crows. And I don't know if you hear crows, but Carrie and I hear them all the time. They are over top of us. They're flying over us. They're landing in trees in front of us. They're on the light pole out in front when we're taking walks down the road. And they're communicating loudly. And we hear them. And our ears can hear them. So if you're like, I don't hear any crows, I haven't seen a crow in a year, then you're missing it because they're there, but we can hear and we can see them. And I believe God is using those as a reminder of exactly this. And I don't know exactly where the Luke passage is, but it is in Luke, and they talk ravens versus the birds, and that's where we get the crows. So very powerful, really a promise that you just want to embrace.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we just thought this was a beautiful piece, and it means a ton to us. And if any of these scriptures you hear tonight, this probably is the most that you can add. I just want to, before we move on, it's hitting me right here. I'm looking at this. At all the words you just saw in Matthew 6:25-34, verse 33 is the most critical. And it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
That's right.
So at all you're seeing here, remember 33 verse, that's what we need to be doing, is seeking him and his righteousness and his kingdom first. And then we have that humility, we have that obedience, and we can feel his promises that he's sharing here take root in our lives. Okay.
Hanging out in Matthew still.
Working our way through the New Testament now. We're in Matthew 22:37-40.
That's right. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets."
The two greatest commandments, right? Jesus said that all the law hangs on these two commandments. Mm-hmm. They all hang on these two. So if you love your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul, and they say your strength that came from the Old Testament, same exact language. During these troubled times and uncertainty, we are to love our neighbors. This is why we brought this verse in here. This is one, you need to know these greatest commandments. You need to be living these. But really wanted to use it as we've heard a lot of people talking about reaching out to people, checking on the elderly, all that. Oh, it's all great. And this is where we get it from as believers. We're to love our neighbors. Who's our neighbor? It's not our next door neighbor necessarily. I know that's what it sounds like. It's our neighbors or anyone we encounter in work, in the streets, on our runs, on our walks, in the shopping centers and all that. So that's our neighbors. And we're to serve those in need. And we hear the modern church services that are all online now, so we get to see all these different churches and what they're talking about. It's kind of cool. Get a sneak peek at all these different churches without going to all these different ones. Making this anthem of this time. Go be the light. Go love on your neighbor. We say it should be what God's chosen people do all the time. I want to make this clear. Okay, and this is for me too. This is not you and I looking at each other, Carrie, going, "We're exempt from this. We're holier than thou." We're not. Trust me. We just had a conversation with this on the walk. But as a church, making this an anthem of the time and a focus is important. But it should be this all the time. It should be the anthem all the time. Not just because of coronavirus. Not because people are being impacted. We are all being impacted at one time, so it's easy. But people are being impacted all the time in different ways other than this virus that will go away. And when life continues on, the cancer is told to the family. They lose a child. They lose their job. They can't get their hours back after this.
That's right.
Church, Christians, love thy neighbor as ourselves. Love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. We should be loving our neighbors. We should be reaching out. We should be sharing the gospel. We should be doing this all of the time.
That's true.
Please don't let this be some game, some focus of marketing for the church families that now we're to just love on everybody. It's all the time.
Well, we've even heard it from each our own individual workforces. We've totally. Both been told, use this time to communicate with customers and to love on customers. Right.
The businesses.
Mm-hmm. And that's, we as God-fearing business owners or employees, that's how we should be running business anyways.
Imagine when you called your customer.
Yes.
And you just called to say, "Hey, How's your family doing? How are you doing? How's the business?
Right.
Maybe you heard that maybe his kid had a minor surgery and you're like, hey, Bill, how's Joey's little surgery? How did that go?
Right.
And not, hey, I got a new product. Hey, I got this, right?
Right.
It's just the way we should be doing it all of the time. And all that's of the point time. We wanted to make.
Yes.
Is I get the church. And again, I love the pastors getting on. I wrote a post today on Facebook. Pastors, and if you're a pastor listening, I'm talking to you. You've gone live in these times every single day. You're doing prayer nights. You are reading scriptures. Yes. I even seen videos with pastors with their kids and as they're doing scriptures live out to the community. Don't stop when coronavirus exits. Mm-hmm. Don't stop that.
Business owners.
Please continue. Mm-hmm. Business people, lead with compassion for people and loving our neighbors in our workplace first.
Yes.
It's not coronavirus time.
Right.
And then it goes away. And I'm afraid of that. It's what's going to happen.
So we're going to do it different.
We're talking about it. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, we're going to watch it all go away, which is going to stink.
Well.
But we're sharing. Please, don't just take this as coronavirus. This is how we're supposed to be all the time.
Yeah.
And this is Carrie and I, too.
Yeah.
This is accountability for us.
Oh, for sure.
We're not even saying we're even close to being perfect at it. Oh, I think we do good on our business side of it. But we have a lot more gospel sharing we can be doing in this time and things that we can do better with our neighborhood and all that. But just think about that. And that's it. I went far enough on it. All right.
It's been the hot topic of our hearts, you guys.
We're going to go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20, the Great Commission. And there's a reason for that, too. So here we go.
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Beautiful. I mean, enough said. Everybody who knows anything about Christianity knows the Great Commission. We are all called to do this. This doesn't mean this is the only time we talked about this, that we emphasize it. And that was my rant. I think we need to mandate to go forward and do this all the time. Social media is a great platform. Yep. Everybody's on their phone.
Yep.
Usually during trials, fear, and uncertainty, the gospel is the most needed because of all these promises that we're talking about. People need these, this hope and encouragement through these scriptures that offer people the opportunity to know Christ or to get stronger and put their trust in Christ. But share how you do not fear and aren't worried because of your faith and that you trust God. That's what we're sharing as Christians. Share some of these encouraging verses on social media. Take some of these verses and just put them out there.
Yeah, put them on your page.
And let people see them and let people rest into those. And who knows what God will do.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Moving right along to John.
John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful.
Now, in context, Jesus was speaking about the Holy Spirit that was right to come on his disciples and eventually on everybody who becomes a Christian. He would send that down later and explains the peace his followers are experiencing knowing him that comes from the Holy Spirit. This peace secures composure for us in difficult trouble and rules in our hearts as God's people. So you got the Holy Spirit in you. You definitely have that.
All right. Romans 5:3-5. I'm stuck on a big word. Exalt.
Exalt.
Thank you. Sorry. It's not my everyday vocabulary. And not only this we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Instead of being consumed during the pressures of life, the trials that bring on emotions and negative responses, as we talked about earlier, we know that God is using these moments of time to bring about spiritual growth and development.
Yeah,
just know that.
Yep.
It's what it is.
Yep.
Producing rich spiritual benefits and our journey. That's the rejoicing that we are to embark on when we are going through some tough times.
Yeah.
And that's what it's saying. Look at it as you're developing, you're growing, you're producing rich benefits of your spirit that will carry you along this journey.
It's so good. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
This is probably, I mean, this is, everybody knows this is probably what I would call a coffee mug verse, but it's my favorite, one of my favorite. I have a lot of them, but this has been, Carrie made a joke saying, hey, what's a podcast without Romans 8:28? and trust me, we've got one coming up that we're going to be doing, and it's in there too. We're reading, by the way, these verses are coming from the New American Standard Bible, just to, as a reference point of some of these words. And I say that because I have circled in this, and we know that God causes all things. You will not find that word in all the translations. I love this because we just talked about, and again in Isaiah, how he causes all these things in the world. He is God. He is all-knowing, and he causes this thing for our good and our well-being and, excuse me, even the calamity. But he says he causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him. All, I want to reference.
Romans 8:37-39. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that one.
It's so good. it's one of my favorites. I mean, this was not just a theory.
No.
This list was proven testimony from Paul's life.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is. If you know Paul and you've read his verses, it is a proven testimony of his life. He suffered so many trials, bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, beaten, as we talked about, so many times you couldn't even count, prison, chain, hungry, shipwrecked, thorn in the side, and eventually martyred and killed for his faith. Mm-hmm. But we conquer all things and circumstances through the love and peace of Jesus. And that's what he's saying in this. Well, we're almost done.
We are almost done. Still got a couple good ones for you. Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Man, this is, you know, this is the go-to verse for me when the coronavirus shutdown kind of hit last week on Monday early. And I was just reading and was really looking at, man, how can I get some peace out of this thing? What's God telling me? And this verse came out. And it is so powerful. Rejoice always, he says. And he says it twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Okay? So there's the message. And it's repeating. And when anything is repeated in the Bible two times in one sentence, you pay attention.
Absolutely.
I've always taught that. Be anxious for nothing. Back to anxiety. Don't be anxious for nothing. But what does he say? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, being thankful, gratitude, let your requests be known. Pray, let them know if you're anxious. Let them know if you're feeling uneasy, right? And his peace will guard over your hearts and minds. This peace surpasses all comprehension through its divine origin, which transcends all human intellect, analysis, and insight. This peace surpasses all comprehension through his divine origin. Know this, that it transcends all human intellect, takes over, doesn't matter. Your human intellect doesn't matter. And your analysis on the topic doesn't matter. Your worry of analysis doesn't matter. Your insight doesn't matter. What matters is the peace that transcends. His peace in the moment transcends all of that. Okay? Bottom line is God's peace is way better than what we cling to for our peace.
Yes, so good.
Which could be the bottle, It could be a lot of different vices that we think are going to bring us peace in those worries and those moments. Mm. It's God's peace that is the most. Anyway, just something to throw at you.
It's good stuff to throw at you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always.
Oh, there's that word again. Pray. Rejoice.
Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Such a pattern, such more in Philippians 4:4-7. But same verbiage coming in both of these. I mean, just again, rejoice always. Pray. He's not saying pray like 24/7, okay? I know it says without ceasing. Like, wait a minute, I don't get a break. I got to pray. No, no, no. Pray without ceasing. Look, pray, be persistent in your prayer. Don't just pray. You could pray in the middle of the day. Pray when you're driving in your car. Pray when you're in your closet getting dressed. You can pray in the shower. Whenever you're feeling the anxiety and you're feeling the fear and you're feeling the doubt, pray, be persistent. God hears your voice. Hears your petitions. Give thanks in everything. Give thanks. Be grateful for what you have. For this is God's will for our life. So it's a powerful. I love how those work together in the two different books.
So good. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline.
So again, another awesome verse. I've seen it on a coffee mug or two on a t-shirt. We love that verse. God has given his people, his chosen, all the spiritual resources they need for every trial and threat. He has given us everything we need to battle it. Yep. Love is what we are called to do, centering on pleasing God and serving others before ourselves, and discipline by focusing on God's sovereign nature and perfect purposes, which will help give us control of our lives with godly wisdom and confidence in any situation. And that's what this verse is saying. At the
we
end
need
of the day.
That right now. We need confidence.
This is in, one little verse that has a lot of bite. Yes. Okay? You know, it causes for the power and love and discipline, right? And so I just think that it's just got a lot to it. And I think if we just cling to those words and understanding and just continue to seek God, it's going to put us in a place of peace and of power and of control. Not necessarily self-control. So, it's good.
It's good.
Okay, well, those are the verses we had. We may be missing some in the Bible. You may be, man, I'm sure we're missing a lot. But those are the ones that we researched together. We felt like were powerful to run through. Hope you enjoyed these. I want to end tonight on an Old Testament. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. I just felt like it's important to talk about God's, you know, in this verse, you can hear God's promise and God's warning to the Israelites, and Solomon, who was praying for his people, for provision, for God to forgive them. And it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. You guys know it. You've heard it, I'm sure. But it's a great way to end. And I just think a lot of times as believers, we lack obedience for God. I think we're lacking obedience for God in our church. We lack putting God first in all things. We're putting other things in front of God. And so I want to end with this because it's a great reminder of where us as believers need to be. And hopefully this helps you a little bit. I know it was good for me to remind me, and Carrie, you and I talked about this, and it gives us 4 takeaways out of this, and I'll point them out, but let's just end with 2 Chronicles 7:14. God says, my people who are called by my name. So people who are called by my name, the called, humble themselves and pray. There we go again. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Mm. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. This is what God says. So again, just, you hear the heal the land. You're looking at our land under this coronavirus plague. So it's just fitting. But I really wanted to give it to you more as just a reminder of what he says. He says, humble yourself. Pray. Mm-hmm. Number 2. If you want to know what you can do in this thing, humble yourself. Number 1. Pray. And as we just heard from 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. Seek my face. Mm-hmm. Put me first. And turn from our wicked ways. Turn from whatever sin whatever you're battling, whatever's getting in your way with God, remove it, and then I will hear from heaven, then I will forgive their sin, your sin, my sin, and I will heal their land. So just put that in there, think about that, meditate on that. That is our conclusion, episode 20, coronavirus plaguing the world, U.S. right now. It's heavy, and we just, we're praying for you. We're praying for this to go away and God's will to be done in it. We hope that these verses were edifying. We hope that they will lift you, and you can take them and share them out. People need the hope. And again, not just during these times all the time, but share these. Yeah. Because there's a lot of people hurting, and you might be one of them. So we hope this was good. And
hey, guys, feel free to reach out to prayer requests. This is a time that people feel a little bit more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to be on your prayer team. If you guys have questions about these verses, maybe some of the content is confusing, definitely our email address is
nextlevelequip@gmail.com.
Right.
So you can email us, mm-hmm. shoot us a note.
Where can you find us on Instagram?
So we are at Next Level Equip.
And then we are also on Facebook.
Next Level Equip. So Instagram, Facebook, all the verses that you heard tonight will be uploaded in the files to get to the episodes. And so you'll be able to have all those listed and you can go through them with your family or yourself. And if you haven't subscribed, do that. And if you have not rated our podcast and you are on iTunes, please, before you're done, just go down there and hit the stars for us.
I would love it.
That would be great. Okay. Yeah. Hang in there. We're going to get out of this at some point.
Lord willing.
We're just at the mercy of our governments and the mercy of the virus. And it's something that we can't tell when it's going to be done, but we just hope that you can be the light and light to others and have this peace in God and in the scriptures and just know he's got this.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
All right. Bye, you guys.